Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. I just love saying that. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You don't say that again now. That's what the president said. Well, coming up, the 115th Congress is coming to a close, and then the 116th Congress will be in town. They'll be sworn in on January the 3rd. Now, I thought it might be of interest to many of our listeners to introduce some of those who will be here in the 116th, especially the new members that will soon be headed here to Washington, D.C. And not so much from a policy standpoint, although I'll ask them a few policy questions, more just kind of to get to know some of the new guys and gals that will be here in Washington representing you. So in just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Mike Cloud. He had back-to-back victories, actually. Winning his November election after winning a special election this past July. I'm sure he's looking forward to a little break. Then we'll talk with Representative-elect Ben Klein. He will soon represent the 6th Congressional District of Virginia. And then we'll go to Oklahoma. We'll talk with Congressman-elect Kevin Hearn. He'll be here. He will be representing the 2nd Congressional District of the Sooner State. And then finally, we'll go to Florida, go down south to the 17th Congressional District of Florida, where actually, I'll get into that later, kind of a little bit of trivia with Congressman-elect Greg Stube. He'll be joining us as well. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Check it out. Lots of resources there for you. If you are not already getting my daily update, now we're going to be taking a little hiatus between now and the new Congress coming in. However, this would be a great time to go ahead and sign up so that when Congress hits, the 116th Congress hits town, you'll know what's going on by getting our daily update. All right. After winning a special election this past July in the 27th District, of Texas, Republican Michael Cloud officially became Texas's newest member of Congress. But he wasn't done campaigning yet to keep the seat. He needed to win it again in November, which he did. Actually, he had 4 elections in 8 months. With us now is Congressman Mike Cloud. He represents, as I mentioned, the 27th Congressional District of Texas. Congressman Cloud, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
4 elections in 8 months. I've been there. I feel your pain. I bet you're enjoying a little break, right?
Well, we still got work to do before the year's done, but certainly looking forward to Christmas. I remember the first conversation we had with our kids, and we were first talking with them about, some people have asked Daddy to run for Congress. What do you think? And at the time, it was going to be, from September to March for a primary, and then that turned into a runoff in May, which turned into a special in June. And then, so it's been now we're telling them, okay, we're going to have a good Christmas, guys. So looking forward to it. But it's certainly an honor to serve, an honor to be here.
Yeah, you got to explain to them there's more to life than campaigning. We will get through the campaigns.
Right.
Campaigning actually can be fun. We made it a family deal when I was in office and running for office. It was a family affair. But I think some of the kids took to it better than others.
Well, yes, and we definitely have that. We have 3 kids, and they each like different aspects of it. So, but it's definitely whenever you're running for office, it's a family ordeal. But thankfully, they understand it. They're young, but they still get that it's important work, and have an appreciation for our history and our country and everything that we do our best effort to get done up here.
Mike, before we jump into some of the policy issues, I want our listeners, and we got a large listening audience in Texas, to get a little background on you, kind of what you were doing before you decided to run for Congress, and then why? Why did you decide to jump into this arena that has become a very it can be vicious. What was behind that?
Sure. You know, I graduated from Oral Roberts University, and I moved to Texas actually to work at a church. And so I was on staff at a church for a long time and really appreciated the work, still involved in the church. But I began to look at where our culture was headed and where our nation was headed, and always grew up with a deep and abiding love for our country, and just began to feel a pull that our country needed help. And so, you know, I that didn't mean I was expecting to ever run for office, but I did get involved in the local party politics and just started to do what I could to get other people involved and in races and campaigns and working and getting ideas across and all those things that you do. And then a couple of years ago, was asked to consider running for this post, and my initial thought was, no, that's kind of crazy. But the more I prayed about it, I felt like it was something I was supposed to do. As a, you know, being involved in the grassroots, I've told people a number of times about the story of Benjamin Franklin walking out of the Constitutional Convention and being asked, do we have a republic or a monarchy? And him saying, we have a republic if you can keep it. And, right. You know, I've told that story probably 1,000 times to other people, and in this sense, it kind of came back to haunt me, and felt that we had a sense of, you know, just kind of a duty to be involved and do what we could. And so, you know, we prayed about it, and the more we prayed about it, felt like it was something we were supposed to do, and put ourselves out there. And of course, like you said, in the culture today, you know, we're content, happy. My wife's a school teacher. I was a small business owner. You know, I had pretty flexible schedule, and you know, when needed to. Anyway, just to say we're content in life, but really felt like we needed to get involved. And so you go through all those things about putting yourself out there in the public eye, but realize, you know, there's people who've gone on the battlefield and taken real shots for the sake of our country, and you know, you just do what we can to help heal our land.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, and you've probably seen this now. I mean, you've not been here a long time, but it didn't take you long to get to know some of the guys and gals on Capitol Hill. There are a lot of other members of Congress that have a very similar story, believers who love this country, love the Lord, and sensed a calling to this arena. I couldn't tell you how many I've had conversations with over that. And I'll have to tell you, most people don't realize that the number of men and women who love the Lord and are here to serve him and this country here in Washington, D.C. I think if they knew at least many of the people, I think if they knew it, they would find it encouraging and refreshing. I think some on the left would go crazy. But there's a lot of folks like yourself that are here for that reason.
There are a number of people, and, you know, there's Bible studies that do happen on the Hill, you know, which you don't see covered a lot of times. Like, for example, during the Kavanaugh hearings, you see the protest, but what you don't see is the people walking the hall saying, hey, we know this is a tough time, we're praying for you. And those prayers, I can tell you, mean the world to those of us who, you know, when I started running, my first speeches were, why are you running? It's like, well, I just think we need a normal person in Congress. You know, I didn't feel especially equipped or anything like that, but just felt a sense of duty to serve. Felt like we need people who would come here and do their best to represent the interests of the people in our nation. And so, you know, we need all the prayers. We need the support. We need people to call and, you know, tell us how they think about issues and to really be involved in the mm-hmm. process as well. But it does make a difference when people understand that there are some of us up here who at a minimum are in it for the right reasons.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it gives them the motivation and the encouragement to do what Scripture tells us to do, and that is to pray for those in authority. And when you realize that you have brothers and sisters in Christ who are serving in this capacity, doing it in a way that is to give honor to the Lord and to serve their fellow man, it should be that motivation that we need to diligently pray for those here in Washington, D.C. Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. my guest in this first segment, Congressman Mike Cloud of Texas. What I'm doing today, just kind of, you know, we're coming toward the end of the year, but we got a new Congress coming in. I thought it'd be good to introduce to you some of the Mike's been there, but he's a newer member. We've got some other members coming up that are brand new. Will be coming to D.C. for the first time in January. Mike, let me ask you this question. And I like to ask this question of the new members. The thing that surprised you most once you came into Congress, from the standpoint of what you thought something might be, or what was the most surprising to you that you found?
Probably the initial thing that struck me that was surprising, and this is going to sound depressing, and I hope it doesn't, because I don't. This could be taken too far from what I'm saying, but I was surprised at the number of people that were discouraged, the number of representatives that were discouraged. In the sense that you come here, and I know I'm at about 150 days in office, so it's easy to say this at this point, but you come in here with high hopes of being able to accomplish something, and people have been here for years and just get kind of beat down by the system in a sense.
Well, that's very true. I've had those conversations, in fact, prayed with many members. And in part, it goes back to what we were talking about before, is that Congress is kind of, you know, Congress has a very low public approval rating as a body. Now, it's called the paradox of distance. Actually, members of Congress individually have higher approval ratings than Congress as a whole. But when you, day after day, when you have everybody, you're the butt of every joke, and, you know, people are lambasting Congress, and you're not seeing the progress you want, it does become discouraging. And that's why, it's one of the reasons we're doing this program, not policy so much emphasis, but on personnel, to let people know that there are men and women here that need to be encouraged with our prayers. And I think that's a big part of that discouragement, is feeling like you're isolated and alone and you're not being lifted up in prayer.
Yeah, I've said it before. You know, when we started our campaign, our first two teams were, first of all, a babysitting team and then a prayer team, because, you know, we understand that, while we're weighing policy, while we're having these national discussions, that there's a bigger picture at play. Yeah. And how important that is, and how we're going to fit into that, you know, individually and then as a nation.
I do want to ask you one policy question from a standpoint of what committees you hope to be on and what you hope to accomplish in the 116th Congress.
Well, I came in on a special election, and so I was placed on Oversight and Government Reform and the Science Committee at the moment. We're looking at what's available. We're still kind of waiting on the Democrat leadership to get kind of organized and to figure out how many seats are going to be available and what committees to know.
Well,
really where.
We definitely want to have you back on when we get into the 116th, and we thank you for joining us today just to share a little bit more of your story so our listeners across the country and in Texas in particular can get to know you a little bit better. So, Mike Cloud, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
All right. And again, congratulations on your election. That's Congressman Mike Cloud of Texas, represents the 27th District. Next, we go to Virginia and talk with Representative-elect Ben Klein. Don't go away. We're back after this.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a STAN member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC STAN member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. Thanks so much for joining us. As I said today, just kind of take a little different track. Not so much heavy on the policy and the politics, but more on the people that will be a part of the 116th Congress. And one of the new members coming in is actually replacing one of our good friends, longtime Congressman Bob Goodlatte, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, been on the program before, good conservative, retiring after 26 years. But he's being replaced by another good conservative who actually worked for him for a number of years. Congressman-elect Ben Klein will soon be taking the oath of office to represent the 6th Congressional District of Virginia. Ben, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for letting me join you, and Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. And I tell you what, I hope that what happened with the lottery for offices for incoming members. Now, folks don't realize this, but there's a lottery system where you get to pick a number, and then you get to pick your office. I hope the rest of your tenure in Congress was as successful as that lottery. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, I hope so. You know, I've played the lottery for fun, been given these scratcher tickets, and I never win. And we go up to Washington, go into the swamp, and all the senior guys get to pick the best offices. Bob Goodlatte's got a beautiful view of the Capitol out of his window. You know, I joked aside that I thought that when I won, I got Bob Goodlatte's office. But no, the senior members get to pick those. And then at the very end, all of the junior freshmen have a lottery to see who gets the rest. And I drew first in the lottery. So I won the lottery for the best of the worst offices left on the Hill.
Well, you did much better than our friend Mark Green. He got number 85, so he's probably got a broom closet somewhere.
He did, and he's a great guy. God, such a patriot, and we made him class president. He's such a great guy.
He really is. He's been on the program already. Ben, this is not so much policy, as I mentioned, not so much policy-driven. We're going to have plenty of time for that in the 116th. But just wanted our listeners, especially in Virginia, but around the country, to get a little better understanding of who's going to be up here in January in the 116th Congress. What motivated you to take this step? I know you worked for Bob Goodlatte for a number of years. You've served in the House of Delegates there in Virginia. What prompted you to take this step?
Well, I worry that we are at a true crossroads for this nation. This nation that was founded on the God-given rights of the constitutional values, the freedoms of speech and assembly, and that we enjoy, they're at risk of being lost. And if we don't act to push back on this godless liberal agenda, we are truly lost as a nation. And so I'm here to push back. I'm here to stand up for the rights of the unborn, for the rights of families, for the rights of men and women everywhere across this country. And we're going to be pushing hard against Speaker Nancy Pelosi and this liberal agenda that she and her fellow liberals have been pursuing for many years.
Now, Ben, this is not your first rodeo. I mean, you were you worked back in the late 90s for Congressman Goodlatte. In fact, you became his chief of staff. Things have changed a lot. What do you see as the biggest change that has taken place in the last 20 years here in Washington?
It's an unabashed socialist agenda that is not even cloaked in traditional conservative philosophies anymore. It's the left of Bernie Sanders. It's the left of Ms. Cortez that have taken over the Democrat Party. And what they're doing now is pushing for the most socialist policies that they can really come up with, whether it's socialized medicine or more power for government programs to infiltrate businesses, infiltrate the church, run over our religious freedoms, run over our freedoms of speech on college campuses. Our Constitution is truly at risk, and they are not ashamed anymore to attack the values that made this country great, and we need to fight back equally hard against this godless socialism that infiltrates our country.
I think, Ben, I think you're absolutely right. I think it requires a response that is of equal proportion in pushing back in defense of the Constitution. And you know what? I think that's why Donald Trump remains popular, as people see him pushing back, fighting back for the very values that made America great.
You're absolutely right. And they are thrilled that someone is willing to be full-throated in their embrace of those historically conservative, family-oriented values and not try and shy away from saying, here's what I believe in when it comes to hard work, when it comes to the institution of marriage, when it comes to the value of life and of families. And when it comes to being run over by foreign nations, whether it's in the trade wars or in terms of our national security, this president's standing up and saying, no more. We're not right. going to take it anymore. We're going to fight back. And that includes the liberals who live here in this country.
Ben, we just got 30 seconds. What's your top committee that you hope to be assigned to?
Well, the first one I've asked for is agriculture. The agriculture is the economic backbone of the 6th Congressional District, which is the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia.
Beautiful.
And so I really want to get up there and stand up for farmers. The second is judiciary. As a lawyer and as someone who learned from Bob Goodlatte to stand up and fight for what's right, I'm ready to get in there and fight Jerry Nadler and Sheila Jackson Lee and the other Democrats on judiciary to make sure these frivolous investigations against our president stop, and that we actually do the work of the people and stand up for our values.
Well, and I hope you're successful in that. Ben Klein, thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to having you on the program once we get into the 116th Congress. All right, folks, find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over. Next, we go to the Sooner State with Congressman-elect Kevin Hern. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us. The website is TonyPerkins.com. All right. In the Sooner State in Oklahoma, the first congressional district was vacated by Oklahoma Congressman Jim Bridenstine when he became the NASA administrator in April. Kevin Hern was actually sworn in on November the 13th to fill the vacancy. He'll now represent that first district. I think I said second earlier, but it's the first congressional district of Oklahoma. Kevin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's great to be on.
First off, let me say congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And what we're doing here, we're going to have plenty of time in the 116th invite. Jim Bridenstine actually used to guest host my program for me a little bit, so I know Jim quite well. I grew up in Oklahoma, in Cleveland, Oklahoma.
But, oh, really?
I did. Yeah, in fact, going to be back there end of the month for a little reunion there in Stillwater, or actually in Sand Springs. We're not getting so much into the policy. We're gonna get to that in the 116th. I have plenty of time to talk about policy issues. We're trying to just kind of introduce some of the new members of Congress to our listeners, and we've got a good listening audience there in Oklahoma. Give us a little bit of your background and what led you to this point of jumping into this arena that we know as politics.
Sure. I appreciate that, Tony. I'm a guy that's I like to, we use the phrase American dream a lot in this country, and we're so privileged to have the opportunity in this country to be able to live out our American dream because I think it's different for everyone. I'm a person that grew up in extraordinary poverty, a person that my dad served 22 years in the Air Force. And the third time he went to Vietnam, my mother didn't want to live that life anymore. So she took my younger brother and I and moved to Arkansas. We lived in Wichita, Kansas, at McConnell Air Force Base, and started a new life and a life that led to extreme poverty. My stepdad didn't like to work, and My mother had three more children, and we lived on food stamps from the time I was roughly 8 years old until I was 17, almost 18. And so I saw what, and by the way, he was a very able-bodied person, so it really has shaped my life. We didn't go to church. We were not God-fearing individuals, even though we lived in the Bible Belt of America. And as we went forward, I was the oldest of five, and I learned that work was a much better way. If you worked hard, you didn't have anybody else to blame but yourself. So I have a strong affinity for hard work and no excuses. And I took myself early on through a hard work ethic and grew out of that and to become very prosperous today. I will tell you along the way, it certainly was not without failures. I had many failures along the way. I joined both the Air Force and the Navy early on. Both had medical discharges. My older sister died of spina bifida. It affected me and my brother. I have a sister with spina bifida. I have a niece that's been in a wheelchair her entire life with spina bifida. So we've had hardships along the way, but it never wavered me from working hard and moving forward. I got an engineering degree, went to work in the aerospace industry, wanted to be an astronaut after working 2 years to go to college. And then went 4 years, got an engineering degree, went to work for Rockwell. 2 weeks before I got hired, after I got hired, the Space Shuttle Challenger blew up, changed the industry forever. And a buddy of mine owned McDonald's restaurants. They said, you should try this franchising program for a period of time, then you can go back in the industry. And I was in January of 1987. I've been a McDonald's franchise. I started out at McDonald's. I worked 10 years to save $100,000 to get my first restaurant. I built a hog farm. I wrote computer software. I bought and sold houses for no money down deals that you hear about all the time. And my wife and I saved $100,000 to get our first restaurant in January of 97. Been McDonald's franchisees ever since, employing people, putting people to work, signing both sides of the paycheck since then. And when you do that, you truly understand and you get to see what it's like giving people the opportunity to get on the first rung of the ladder, start their careers, teach them how to work, teach them how to pay contribute to society through either taxes or just the reciprocity of working hard, fair wage. We have people that have started on the first rung of the ladder making $60,000, $70,000, $150,000 a year now. It led me into other small businesses, and I got involved in banking and real estate development, manufacturing. So I've been a small business person for almost 30 years now. Started my first business under Ronald Reagan. I just turned 57 yesterday. And I'm a person that got into politics because I got tired of us talking about putting Americans back to work and yet seeing welfare grow to the roles it were before President Trump's almost 47 million people on food stamps. And yet we talk about the need for workers, and we have this repository of people that are have gone from getting hand-ups from all the rest of the U.S. and the society we have here in our great nation to dependency. And we need to, 1996 Welfare to Work Act gave opportunities for people to come off of welfare and get back to work. And we saw budget surpluses for 4 years there. And that was really the likes of the 94 class of Republicans that came back and said, the true liberty in America is a job. And so that's who I am.
Kevin, we've got some music playing in the background. That means I've got to go to a break, but I want to ask you to hold on because I think you've got a fascinating story. And I want to ask you a couple more questions. Can you hold on while we go to a break?
Absolutely.
All right. All right, folks. Congressman Kevin Hern is going to hold on here. Fascinating story of the American dream still alive and well, if you're willing to pursue it, if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and go to work. We continue our conversation with him, and then Congressman-elect Brad Stube also coming up next. Don't go away. We're back after this.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stand member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stand member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once
again. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I don't know about you, but every time I mean, just hearing Bing Crosby puts me into the spirit of Christmas. It just makes me think of snow and jingle bells and all that sort of thing, which is nice. Actually nice. You're listening to Washington Watch. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. We're talking with Congressman Kevin Hern of Oklahoma. He represents the 1st Congressional District. Kevin, really kind of the American dream story. I mean, as you said, not without heartaches, setbacks, but it's determination and it's the willingness to pursue, and that's kind of what they our whole frame of government and our recognition that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's the ability to pursue. It can't be handed to you. You have to go after and you have to get it.
Well, I think you're right, Tony. And don't think you're right. I know you're right. You know, as a matter of fact, as I mentioned earlier ago in my synopsis of hard work, you know, hard work without having the right focus can also lead to a lot of heartache. And I, along this journey of it all being about me coming out of poverty, I was very self-centered. It was all about me, work, work, work. And it led to a divorce after 10 years from a person that I'd gotten married to. And then I met the person who led me to Christ when I was 31 years old, who I've been married to almost 25 years now at 31 years old. And so in your conversation there, you're mentioning the inalienable rights, you know, God, we give up on God in this country. I think that's what's happened in many instances. You know, when you look at some of the craziness going on in Washington politics that I've seen just in the first 3 weeks I've been there, you know, God never gives up on us. And he didn't give up on me at 31 years old, and I accepted Christ in my life and, you know, forever changed the focus of who I was and getting my priorities straight, that God is the premier focus in life, and nothing happens without that focus being on him first and then family and then work. Everything that my wife and I have to this day All the prosperity we have, the ability to help others, came from that moment in April of 1993. There's nothing more powerful than that moment. And for a guy like myself who thought he knew everything and really knew nothing, it was a very humbling moment for a person that I will be someday in heaven with the person who led me to Christ. And that's a pretty powerful moment.
Well, I am I'm glad we held you over through the break because I wanted to hear the whole story. Because changing one's environment and going from riches or from poverty to riches is not fulfilling without that foundation that comes from that relationship in Jesus Christ. And I mean, you now have the full spectrum, the full picture, which is going to, I think, enable you to not just represent the people of Oklahoma. I know there's a lot of poverty in Oklahoma, but you've got a good district there. But to speak with authority here in Washington, D.C., about what really brings both significance and contentment. And it's not just things that are handed to us, but it is it's the value of life. It is the opportunities that America still offers anyone who's willing to do it.
Well, and I know you wanted to wait till the next time to talk about policy, but I do think it's the foundation of who we are. You know, I don't necessarily call it policy as much as I just say the core of who a person is. You know, I'm not certain how you can have liberty or be able to have the ability to pursue happiness if you don't respect it and value life.
Oh,
and certainly the folks that are across the aisle, many, if not all, don't have that same respect. They can't even clearly identify when life starts in their own mind, because if they did, they would have a different perspective. So they truly do not want to even describe it that way. You know, when I have this conversation about refocusing who we are, it was a refreshing last night on Fox. I saw where In God We Trust is being brought back by states. It's being voted back in by legislature. I still say, God never gives up on us. We as a nation have given up on him. And, you know, we're seeing this in this election. We have many progressives that are out there that are being elected that are not happy with us and us trying to adhere to the values of the Constitution. And the most, referenced book of the Constitution being, you know, the Bible. They don't even want to acknowledge that. And these are not uneducated people. I was looking at the 66 Democrats that have been elected to this cycle. Many are attorneys and educators. And so they're not without knowledge. They just choose not to understand where the Constitution was, where it came from.
Well, Kevin, let me congratulate you on your election, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. And let me just say this: I look forward to working with you in the 116th and having you back on the program often.
And thank you, Tony. Thanks for all that you all do as well.
Well, thanks so much, and Merry Christmas to you and the Hearn family.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it, to you as well.
All right. Congressman Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, the 1st Congressional District. See folks, I one of the reasons we want to do this is so you know the type of men and women who are serving here in Washington, D.C. It should inspire you and encourage you to pray. And maybe you need to run for office as well. Well, now we're going to go down south to Florida to talk to a new member of Congress. Greg Stube has, let's put it this way, he's no stranger to public service. He is a veteran of the United States Army, and he has served in the Florida legislature since 2010. And now, in the 116th, he'll be representing the 17th Congressional District of Florida. Greg, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, this is a little different of a program. We're kind of introducing some of the newer members of Congress to our listeners, not so much going into the policy side of things, but more on the just kind of, hey, get to know the new members of Congress. I know a little bit about you, because, and I'll go into that in a moment, but share with our listeners kind of what motivated you to move into this realm of public service?
Well, having served in the military and having served in Operation Iraqi Freedom, you know, federal issues, national security issues, veterans and citizen issues, military issues have always been very important to me. And at the state level, I've served in the state legislature for 8 years, 6 years in the state house, and then 2 years in the Florida Senate. You can't really delve into national issues, national security. There's some little things we do at the state of Florida on veterans with veterans nursing homes, but not at a level that I've always wanted to serve. And so when the opportunity came to run, I wanted to use my experience both in the military and the state legislature and my experience as a lawyer and put that to practice for service in my country. So I had the opportunity to run and was successful in that election. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to serve on these federal issues.
And, of course, your family, no stranger to public service. Your father served as the sheriff there in the county in which you're in there in Florida. And full disclosure, Greg happens to be my second cousin. His father, Brad, first cousin, grew up with him. And so you've kind of grown up around the whole idea of public service.
Yeah, my mom was an elementary school teacher for 30 years, and my dad, I can always remember the year he started at the Mandy County Sheriff's Department because it was the year I was born. So he did 40 years at the Mandy County Sheriff's Office and was one of the few sheriffs in the history of Florida that started at the same department as the lowest level deputy and worked his way up all the way to become sheriff of the department. So he recently retired a couple of years ago, but certainly served this area well, and certainly know service. My brother is also a deputy in the same department. And I think the Stubbe family has certainly served our community strongly.
So as you contemplate the 116th Congress, it's a little different than when you announced that you were going to run because the Republicans were in the majority. In January, they will be in the minority. So it's a much different scenario. What do you, first off, what committees do you hope to be on, and what would you like to accomplish when you come to Washington?
Well, I served for the last 2 years, I served as the chairman to the Florida Senate Judiciary Committee. So I want to use those skills, having dealt with a lot of those issues, and given the fact that we're coming into the minority and a lot of things that you hear the minority talk about, like the impeachment proceedings and subpoenas and all of those type of issues will come through the Judiciary Committee. So I've asked to be on Judiciary. I think I'm very well positioned with my experience to serve on that committee. And I think I can be a conservative voice against the Democrats on a lot of things that they intend to do that will come through that committee. But I also asked to serve on Foreign Affairs due to my service overseas. I think I have a unique aspect to having served in the Middle East, a lot of things that we're going to face as a nation. I think I can lend a pretty good lens to the type of issues that the Foreign Affairs Committee would see. So those are two of the committees that I asked for. I also asked for agriculture just because my district is heavy, heavy agriculture. When people think of Florida, they don't think of citrus trees and cattle ranches, but this congressional district that I represent is the number one citrus producing district in the entire country. If you had orange juice this morning for breakfast, it likely came from this district. So it's important, I think, for the representation of this district to have some involvement on the Ag Committee. So I also asked to be placed on Ag.
Well, certainly, it'd be a lot of work to do in the new Congress. Mostly, as you pointed out, being in the minority, given what the Democratic Party is proposing, Nancy Pelosi, there's going to be a lot of effort needed to defend the conservative policies that have been put in place, tax code, other things that were accomplished in the last 2 years under the Trump administration. So certainly a lot of work ahead.
Yeah, everything that she stands for is the opposite of what I stand for. So I'm more than happy to go up there and fight for the conservative agenda. knowing that I probably am going to be outvoted. But I think we need somebody that's going to be a champion on those conservative issues. And I've done that in the legislature in Florida for the last 8 years. And I look forward to the opportunity to do it in Washington. And I think given all of the things they're trying to do from a legal perspective, I think having someone who served as the chairman of the Florida Senate Judiciary Committee, who's also a lawyer, who spent some time in the courtroom, who was a JAG officer in Operation Iraqi Freedom for the 25th Infantry Division, I think I have a unique experience and ability to kind of look at and cross-examine some of those issues as they come before those committees. So I'm hopeful that I'll be able to get on the Judiciary Committee. I don't think those appointments are going to be made for the next few weeks, maybe even into the first of next year. Hopefully I can be a strong conservative voice on all these issues that the Democrats are trying to push through Congress.
Well, in the meantime, Greg, after you've finished with a pretty tough campaign, at least the primary, the general went pretty smooth. But I'm sure you look forward to a little bit of rest here during the Christmas season as you gear up for January the 3rd.
Yeah, we had a couple of weeks of new member orientation. I just got back from Boston. Harvard, JFK's Policy Institute does a new member orientation, so I did a couple of days there. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's people don't think about the transition that you have in trying to set up a staff, and I've got those people in place now. We've got our D.C. staff, I think, as of today, set in place, and our district staff almost set in place. So hopefully we're ready to rock and roll by January 3rd when I swear in and everybody starts transitioning over into my office and we'll be able to hit the ground running. I already have several bills that I look to and intend to file as soon as session starts. So I'm hopeful to hit the ground running as soon as I can.
Well, we look forward to seeing you when you get to town, and look forward to having you on Washington Watch more frequently once you're here.
Yeah, anytime. I appreciate the time.
All right. Merry Christmas to the Stuby family.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you.
All right, folks, that's Greg Stuby. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. A lot of we're going to try to get to work in some more new members as we get into the 116th Congress to give you a chance to get to know some of them. But I do think it's, again, very important that you know that your values are – being represented. Now, you might not hear it on the evening news. It might not be the ones that MSNBC and CNN and even Fox go to, but you can hear them here. Disproportionately, you're going to find on Washington Watch the men and women who are working hard to advance faith, family, and freedom. That's one of the things we want to do. We want you to know what's happening and what you can do. Because don't ever forget that our defending our republic is not a spectator sport. It's not a spectator undertaking. It is a participatory responsibility. All right, folks, out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Until next time, I want to leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.